Praise God. Let me make another important reminder. See, one of the things that we are thankful for is when we have people that are so in love with the Lord, so in love with the Lord, that they are so committed to the work of God, that they would want to give their best, to do their best in their service to God's work. We are so blessed to have a group that have made themselves available for the Tagalog service every Sunday. Some of you might, when you come in, you see them gathered in the fellowship hall. But I would want people to remember that this is one of the resources that God has given us as a church. And so the Tagalog service is now going to start at 9:30 until 10:30. Some of you would say, have expressed the desire. You know, at times it's, you know, coming from the Philippines, we love our language, Tagalog, right? How many of you, at times when you would hear someone read the Bible in Tagalog, wow, ang sarap pakinggan. You know, masarap. Bakit ba masarap? Paano ba masarap? Malinamnam. It's not even, but you know what? The Word of God, in fact, no. I'm not going to correct myself because Jeremiah said, Lord, your word tastes like honey to my mouth. Yes, yes. So yung mga gustong makarinig ng Tagalog, this is a resource, this is a blessing that God has given us. So basta nyo nakakalimot na merong tayong ganitong service, we are reminding you. So it might, 9:30, napakaaga naman. You know what? When it concerns, pag ito ay ikakabuti ng ating soul. How many of you ay talagang into workout? Alam ko there's many of you. Ako hindi ako mapapabilang doon. Well, anyway, some people are into workout that they know the benefits of getting up early and getting out for a walk to exercise. Or be on your bikes or whatever, because you know the benefits that it gives to your physical body. Now, kung kayo po ay, if you are so serious about your walk with God, na gusto nyong lumago, gusto nyo ang level of faith nyo ay tumaas pa ng antas, next level. I think this is a call. We all need a divine push at times. A divine push. Na minsan, Sunday, sana gusto ko pa matulog. So, at naman sinabi 9:30. At times, we need a divine push. We need it. Can I say this? We need it. You and I need this. And so, Tagalog service, 9:30. And so, we are blessed to have, you know, a group that they have committed themselves to do this. This July, we're going to really celebrate the goodness of God, because you know what? God is serious about blessing you and me. Did you hear me? Most of the times, when we look at the Word of God, minsan na, sinabi doon, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of these things. Nagja-jump agad tayo doon, all of these things. Oh, meron kayong nilalampasan eh. Kailangan tingnan. Sabi ni, when we seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness, then all of these things shall be added unto us. Faithful ho si God. Hindi ho siya nagkukulang. Kung ano man ang pangangailangan natin, know that God is more than able to meet that need. And so, just to encourage you po, okay, 9:30 yan. So, let's get excited. Do you know I'm there in my office while they're having their ang saya nila. They're so into it. They're so excited about coming together for worship sa Tagalog. Ang ganda ng kanta sa Tagalog. Worship, Word of God, and prayer. We need prayer so badly. Do you know that you're being prayed for? We all need that. We all need that. Amen. And so, Sister Cherry, can you include that also in the announcements? When you make your monthly announcements, include that. Tagalog service when? 9:30. Where? Baka sa park kayo magpunta. Dito, dito. Okay, all right. All right. Sige po. So, we thank God for this because God loves us so much. And so, because He loves us so much, He is touching the hearts of people na, oh, gawin niyo to because this would benefit people in the church. Amen? Glory to God. So, if you have your Bibles with you and if you are physically able to rise up to honor Jesus, who is the Word of God, we're going to turn our Bibles in the book of Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Glory to God. Brother H, can you do me a favor and put this mic over here, this one? We're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 37. Thank you, Brother H. Chapter 37. We're going to start with verse 1. Let me know if you're there. Baka minsan ho, dikit-dikit pa yung pahina ng ano, dahilan. We rarely go to that book at times. You know, it's okay. It's all right. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel. And hopefully you're there already. Kasi malapit na ho Pasko. Ezekiel 37. Okay. 37, chapter 37, verse 1. Mom, did you find it, Mom? Okay. Okay. The hand of the Lord was upon me. 37. Okay. We have to take note, kailangan natin i-focus kasi ang bawat word is so important. It's so important. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Verse 2. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into this slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit," capital S, which means the Holy Spirit, "I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it," declares the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words of life. Only you, Lord Jesus, have the words of life. And we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in all of us, that you may grant us understanding and revelation that would change our hearts forever, that we may know that you are Lord, Jesus, you're the God of salvation, and that, Lord, you are the God who breathes upon us and gives us the life of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God. You know, the Word of God, the Bible teaches us that there's someone who created this earth that you and I are living in. It's not the Big Bang Theory. It's not just, you know, poof, it just appeared. The Word of God teaches us that there's a God in His power and wisdom created this earth. Now, one of the things when you and I would enjoy the beauty of nature is for us to see how amazing is God's creation. How many of you would at times like pause for a while? How many of you have gardens here? So let me give you an example, okay? When I drove in to church today, I came in early, so I was the only car parked there. The first thing that caught my attention was this Peter Pan lilies. Do you know those? What caught my attention was the beauty of these purple blossoms. Did you see that? Or did you even notice that there are Peter Pan lilies in front of the building? That's how they call it, Peter Pan, because you know the way God created it, it's like floating, right? We don't immediately see the stalk. It's up there, like floating. Peter Pan lilies. And so it's amazing. One of the beauty of the creation of our Lord Jesus is in nature, it has the power to recreate itself. Here in America, when it's winter time, you see these coral trees in front. During winter time, it's bare. You think like that tree is dead. No life, barren at all. But once the season changes from winter and now it gets into spring, something begins to bud from that coral tree, and you would see the fiery color when that, you know, those flowers would now bloom. That's the beauty of His creation. The Lord thought about all of those things. When you would look at a rose petal, how velvety it is, right? And when you smell, you know, I love sampaguita. I know that some nurseries, they still, I think they're raising some sampaguitas now here in California. Sampaguita, it's like, you know, and dama de noche, we have that in our house. Dama de noche, noche is nighttime. Natural air freshener. When we would go out the house, the whole block smells, the smell of those white flowers, beautiful. And we are amazed that God has created all of these things, right, for us to enjoy. That's the heart of God. When God creates something, His heart is always that He means it, that you and I would enjoy all of these blessings. Amen. So it has the ability to recreate itself. Once when it seemingly it's dead and barren, now we would see life springing forth. It's not just applicable to nature as part of God's creation, but do you know that God has also that power to recreate or bring life even in our spiritual lives? See, for us to appreciate this this study, we need to understand our condition first before we realize the importance of what God, through Christ, can do in our spiritual lives. See, in the Bible, it tells us that all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. All. No one is righteous, no, not one. So meaning to say, all of us, irrespective of backgrounds, age, race, everybody needs God's salvation. Because the bad news is that before we appreciate the good news, because gospel means good news. For people to understand and appreciate the gospel, they have to understand why we need the gospel. See, it tells us that because sin came upon us when we were born. No matter how cute those babies are when they are born, see, the truth is they have already sin in them. Through one man, Adam, sin entered human race. All of us. All of us. So that why we need Jesus. Because Jesus is the only way for us to get to heaven. The Bible says in John that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I love that part. He is the way. We are so amazed with technology now. I would always use this as an example because I'm so amazed with this app now in your smartphones. How many of you appreciate this app, the map? Do you still have Thomas Guide in your cars? No more. You don't use that anymore because Waze, you call that. Because in our smartphone, the GPS, it gives us the ability to just type in the destination where you want to go. And then as soon as you press that button, directions and go, it tells you, okay, within 10 feet from you, turn left. Turns you when to turn right. And even tells you, you have reached your destination. So the question is, do you know the way to heaven? That's a question. It might be a simple question, but it tells us that Jesus is the only way. So going back to that example, illustration, I marvel at that, and I appreciate that so much because I have a tendency to get lost. No matter how, you know, I would have a piece of paper before the GPS, I would have this piece of paper because we would go to many Bible studies here in Southern California, and it would tell me, oh, make a left here, make a right, but in the end, I always get lost. A lot of people would see me right there at the corner of a certain street somewhere in Orange County in a public phone booth, and I would call the owner of the house, I'm here at Beach Boulevard and whatever, and I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get to your house? But now with the technology, it's so easy for us to get to the place and get there on time, right? But as far as our eternal destiny, we have to listen to what the Bible is telling us. Here in the words of God, that's why Jesus is the way. He is the truth. Truth comes from God's word to tell us where we're at spiritually, what our condition is, and it tells us the remedy is that you and I accept Christ as the only way that the Father has given us for us to get to heaven. But, you know, for most of us that have already made that decision, when that opportunity was given to many of us, when the gospel was preached and you made that decision, you might have raised your hand or came forward to an altar call and said, I need Jesus. I want to commit my life to Christ. And you made that decision. And do you know that we are still on our way to heaven? And so that's why we value what Jesus said when he said that he is the life. He's not the only God who has given us the assurance of where we're going to spend our eternal destiny. There's a humbling truth that we begin to realize that we don't hold our tomorrows. No one is guaranteed of tomorrow. If you are to be asked, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Every day we hear, tragic news. At times, like this family from Torrance. I don't know if you heard that. A family from Torrance, they were together spending vacation in the Bahamas. And the mother and daughter went out for snorkeling. And the tragedy happened when, there were sharks that they did not see and attacked that college student. She didn't make it, unfortunately. Sad. But it gives us a glimpse. When you and I hear of those things, it tells us how life can be fleeting. And when that opportunity is given to you and me to seal our eternal destiny, we should grab it. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. When that opportunity is given and the Word of God is shared, By the grace of God, you and I are compelled. The Bible uses the word compel. It's a strong word. It teaches us that we seize, grab that opportunity. It's like a lifeline. It's like you're drowning in the sea of life, and there is this salbabidang throne here. Take it to save you. You're drowning. And you don't have that assurance where you're going to spend your eternity. And so when that opportunity is given, you're drowning, and then you wouldn't say, oh, sayo na lang yan, I don't like it. But you're drowning. And I would use that as an illustration for those that it's not religion that would save, but it's only Jesus. Only Jesus can save us from sin because of what he did at the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, praise God. And so, going back to this, we just don't see that in nature, but that powerful truth that it's God who's able to give life, the ability to do that in the spiritual lives of people. I am so blessed and grateful to God that in my 20s, that opportunity was given to me. I didn't know my condition, but it took someone that God has empowered with His Holy Spirit to pray and fast for me. I didn't know him because he just came from the Philippines. He was a spirit-filled Christian. Now I realize that. He had this, his face is radiant. Every time I would see him, but because I wasn't born again yet, I didn't know what, I was desperate and I was depressed. I didn't know my condition, that I needed God's mercy and grace to save me from my sins. It's not religion, mind you, because I was raised up in a very religious background. But, I didn't know anything found from the Word of God. Nothing at all. Nothing. Zilch, nada, kaput. Zero. Zero. Because it's not human knowledge that would bring salvation to us, but God's mercy and grace for the Word of God to be shared to us. And so I thank God. My life was never the same when that opportunity came out of a painful situation when my father passed away, not realizing that out of that pain and tragedy, the grief over the loss of my dad came, he used it, that life will come upon me and my mom. And I know that God is also working in the lives of the rest of my family. We choose to believe that God is a God who knows where we're at. We choose to believe that God is still in the business of seeing where there is dryness or barrenness in our lives. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, before he left for heaven, he said to his disciples, because the disciples, Jesus was with them for this period of time, over 3 years. And having Jesus by his side, by their side all the time, and when they heard that Jesus was to die on the cross, and then after that, rose again and go back to the Father in heaven, their hearts were sad. They were sad that Jesus was about to leave them. But Jesus said, no, don't be sad. Because when I go up, the promise of the Father will come. And that promise was the Holy Spirit. I pray, because not all of us might not be in the same page, because this is a continuous study in the Word of God of the importance of knowing God's plan of salvation for us by sending Jesus, his son, and that when Jesus rose again into heaven and now we're here, do you know that the Holy Spirit is such an important part of our lives as a believer? That you and I may know more about the Spirit of God and what he can do. Later on, I'm going to call someone to testify. I'm going ahead of my outline, but let me just give you at the onset. You're going to hear a powerful testimony today, because last Sunday, there was a call. There was a call made to everyone, those who are hungry for God and those who are hungry for God's power. Some came. And there was one particular sister who came, and the Lord showed her what that power was for. But before I call her, and that would be towards the end of this study, to give us, that's why it's important for us to hear the Word of God. We have to really believe No, see, true faith is not just believing. Oh, you know, I heard that. I believe that. But it takes more than that. Faith should push us to act on God's word, because faith without works is dead. We don't want that our faith be considered dead before the eyes of God, because there would always be opportunities for us to act on God's word. Now, this story that we read in the book of Ezekiel, it gives us, you know, it's like, you know, what is that all about? What's the valley of dry bones? What does that have to do with me as a young person? What does that have to do with me? You know, I came to church because, you know, I have so many problems. And it's like, you know, I need to know what I should do. You know, my marriage is failing. You know, at my workplace, it's like dead end situations in my life. So what is that? You know, we read valley of dry bones. What does that has got to do with my life? A lot and all. Because whether we read a story in the Old Testament or we read a portion in the New Testament, it's all the Word of God, inspired by the Spirit of God. And I pray that we may all see ourselves, because the Word of God serves like a mirror to all of us. Amen. So here, the story in this book shows us a picture of what God can do, of the power to restore or bring back to life to what is dead and bone dry. Have you seen a bone? Nah. No life. Bone dry. When you say, oh, it's bone dry. Talagang sapped out of moisture or life. The first thing that the Lord did was, Ezekiel was, he's a man of God, he's a man of faith. The first thing that the Lord did was to lead. He was led by the Spirit of God. Do you know that God is still doing that? We are still being led. He was led to this place. And the Bible describes it, how that place looks like. It's a valley, and it's a valley full of just bones. It's not a resort. It's not Maui, Hawaii. It's a place filled with dry bones. In fact, not just once, but the Bible tells us that God led Ezekiel back and forth. Back and forth. Because the Lord had a purpose. He wanted to show Ezekiel something, and God is going to give him a message of what he's going to see in that place. When God calls you and me, it's not just, oh, yeah, I'm happy. I know I'm going to heaven. Praise God for that. We praise God for that assurance. But do you know that when God calls us, there's much more to just being content and just not being passive with the things of God. But God wants us to be filled with His power that would change our lives as a Christian forever. Amen. And so he was led to go back and forth in that place where there's filled with dry bones. The dry bones is a picture of the condition of God's people, the Jews in Israel. They were captives. When you're a captive, you don't have freedom. You don't have rights. And they were scattered, and spiritually, they were considered dead because of their sins. See, but the Lord in His mercy wanted to change that. He had a plan. And we have to listen and go to the Word of God and how God brings about that change that we are so desperate for in our lives. It's not a story just for the people of Israel, but it's also for us today. So the dry bones is a picture of the condition of God's people. Because of sin, they were scattered and they detached themselves from the source of life, God, who's the giver of life. The Lord wanted Ezekiel first to see the true condition of His people. And do you know that today in our spiritual lives, it's God at work through His Holy Spirit causing us to see our condition apart from God. When at times He would allow, tragedies, like in our case, in my family, it took the passing away of my dad. I was so close to my dad. I was so close to him. It's like you would consider me like his gopher. Back home in the Philippines, if he would be doing gardening things, I would be by his side always. And anak, kuhanin mo ito, yung pliers. Oh, anak, kuha mo. And I love being around him. And when he passed away, and of course, we experienced grief over the loss of someone we love. But little did I know that God was already at work. His eyes was not, because I was mad at God, I was up to here with my problems, and I was like, being raised in a religious background, but I stopped going to church, and then, when I would pray, I was doing like this to God. I was angry and mad at God. I was disappointed with him. And it's like I would tell him, you're there up in heaven enjoying your glory. It's in effect, I'm saying that to him. And here am I suffering. You know, at times, if you consider that a prayer at all, in his mercy and grace, I knew. Now as I look back, I knew that God heard me. Even when I was like not honoring him the way I talked to him, but it's like probably in effect God was telling me, it's about time that you talk to me. It's okay for you to pour out your heart. It's okay for you to let me know how much you're burdened with all of this. It's okay for you to let me know of your pains and grief. But I just wanted you to know that I'm here. And all it took was for a spirit-filled co-worker of mine coming from the Philippines, anointed by God to pray and fast for someone he doesn't even know. In fact, I would sneer at him, because of being lost. I considered him, this guy needs a life. In fact, I said that. This guy needs a life. He would have his Bible. Keep niyo yung Bible every time he comes to the office with a smile on his face. And here I was, depressed, lost soul. And I was telling him, get a life. Little did I know that I needed the life that comes from Jesus. And he was the bearer of that message that would change me forever. And I thank God because, when the power of God is at work in your life, no matter what kind of criticisms or something would like make you stop doing, praying for someone or sharing Jesus to someone, that, I'm amazed, really. I thank God. I'm forever grateful to God and for him because he was like, the tenacity and persistence. Oh, every time he would, we're having a Bible study in the lunchroom on the seventh floor. Do you want to join us? No, thank you. I'm not interested. That's always my reply. But see, because God was at work already and he wants me saved. He wants me to be born again. Most of you are already familiar with that story, but let me say this again. We cannot run from God. I saw to it that I was seated on a table far from the group having Bible study. But because the brother was anointed, so he opened the Bible and he read. He had a loud voice. So I was I warmed my food. Diyan kayo, dito ako. I'll be here minding my own business. But he read the Word of God. When I heard the word of God, I went home that day with those words ringing in my mind. I even took my dictionary because he read a verse that showed my condition. I was living in sin. I even looked at now I know it was the Spirit of God that led me to do that. He wanted me to be enlightened and caused me to see the reason why you're suffering is because your sin has separated you from God. But the good news is God can bring life to you through Christ and through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That brother persisted. He persisted until I made the decision to accept Christ. And my life was forever changed. At my age now, at turning 61 this year, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now I can tell you that the Word of God is alive. Amen. And it never returns to God empty nor void. as you are sitting there listening to the Word of God, I would just encourage you, and you know, can I be strong with, I'm going to use this, compel you. Compel you. There was a time when I was invited again, you know, I already accepted Christ. I was invited to another Bible study somewhere there in Angelus Temple in L.A. And there was the late missionary, Brother Ben Baluyot, so he was conducting a Bible study. Do you know that I was angsty on my seat? Labas-masok ako dun sa hall where the Bible study was. I'm just telling you this because ang faith, it grows. It starts with a small thing like a seed, and it evolves. It goes through a process of growth. So please do not be discouraged, whether for yourself, that you have accepted the Lord, and you're saying, oh, yeah, I want to see the power of God. I know, give him time. Let the Word of God take it, the Word of God to develop in your heart, nurture it with prayer, and, you know, continue to worship God. And see what, when that grows and matures, your faith now begins to grow, that how your life will be used by God for others. And there comes the joy of harvest. Amen. And so the first thing that happened was the Lord led Ezekiel to that dry place. So when God leads us to a place wherein we need to see our condition, let's listen to God. There may be so many voices around us, many voices around us, but choose to listen to the voice of God alone. See, the beauty of being born again is now that part of us, see, because our composition is we are a spirit being, a soulish person, and we have this body, spirit, soul, and body. The body, we have this contact in this physical world. When you touch someone, when you shook hands with someone, you are in contact physically, right? You're seated on that seat. Physically, there's a chair holding you. Soul, that's the part of us, eto na po, this soul part of us, that's where our emotions are. That's where the logic, the mind, we think, we reason through the soul. That soul makes us, gives us the ability to make choices in life. You made a choice to come to church today. You might, could have been invited by someone or a member, a family member said, "Oy, church tayo Sunday, gumising ka maaga." Let's come to church because God is something for you and me. Amen. But the spirit part, see, the Bible tells us that our sin separates us from God. So that's why we need to be born again. The sin caused the spirit part of us dead. But when that day when I got born again, when I received Christ as my Savior and Lord, you know, something happened. Something happened. It was instantaneous. And it's like I felt that joy that I have never felt. Never felt. No amount of things of this world can bring that joy that I experienced when I accepted Christ. The blessed state of being forgiven for my sins. Amen. So now, when you and I get born again, now we have the ability to hear God speaking to us. Kasi hanggat hindi po nabo-born again, not unless a person gets born again, all of this is like, hindi ko maintindihan yan. Forget it. I don't like it. See, the gospel says it's the Spirit of God that gives us revelation. Kaya kailangan mo humaborn again. And when that happens, now you and I now have the ability to hear God speaking to us. Amen. That's the beauty of it. Hallelujah. And so now in verse 3, haven't you noticed, God asked a question. He raised a question to Ezekiel when he saw the dry bones. Son of man, can these bones live? What a question, no? Ano yung question na tinanong ni Lord kay Ezekiel? Verse 3, can these bones live? ano pong sagot? What was the response of Ezekiel? Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. What does that mean? Every time God asks a question, His purpose is for people to make a confession and a declaration. Let me say that again. When God asks a question, He wants always a confession and a declaration. Remember in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned? The Lord was there in the garden. He said, Adam, where are you? Of course, we know that God knows everything. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, guilt and shame came into their lives. That's one of the effects of sin. There's guilt and shame. And of course, God knew where they were, but what was the purpose of God asking Adam, where are you? He wanted Adam to come before God and make a confession. God, I failed. You told us not to eat the fruit. But what did he do? He chose to do the blame game. Ano nangyari? Lord, kasi ikaw eh. This woman you created. It's a blame game. All the time, we choose to blame others for our condition, but God wants us to be responsible for our own actions. Can I say this? Even when at times we have reasons to justify, whether, let's say, in the brokenness of a family, and, you know, I was rejected in my family. It's like my parents didn't love me at all, and blah, blah, blah. God knows the pain when those things happen in a family. But God wants us to come to Him and say, God, I need you. This brokenness in my life, God, I need you. Amen. And so when God asks a question, His purpose is always what? For us to make two things, a confession and a declaration. And when, what was the response of Ezekiel? A declaration. Lord, sabi niya, what did he say? Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Is that a declaration? Yes, a declaration of who God is, that He is sovereign and He is an all-knowing God. Amen. There's power in our words. There's power in our declaring things about who God is. Because with God, nothing is impossible and no problem or situation that is too difficult for God to fix or solve. Now, look at this. The third thing. Let's look at this story. Then the Lord gave instructions to Ezekiel on what to do and what to say. Look at that in verse 4. I want you to take note. Okay. So, then he said to me, God said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear. Hear what? The word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. So he said two things. He gave an instruction for Ezekiel to prophesy or to declare. And then the Lord says, and this is what you're going to say. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, right? Did you see that? And you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So verse 7, what did he do? Did he? Okay. Okay, before we go to verse 7, we can only wonder what Ezekiel was thinking when he heard what the Lord said. See, because Ezekiel was called by God to be his messenger. And from Ezekiel 1 all the way up to verse 36, you're going to see that Ezekiel would be sharing God's message. And did people listen to him? No. So probably he was saying, oh, Lord, here we go again. Right? At times, God might be saying something to us, and then we are like basing it on our like condition at the moment. And probably you're saying, it does not work. I've been attending Bible studies every Wednesday. I'm coming to church and nothing has happened. At times we might get into that mode like Ezekiel. But what's amazing with Ezekiel was his obedience. Lord, no matter what I'm seeing, Lord, it's hard. Lord, you know that. People don't listen to you. But okay, I'll obey you. And so he did. And so what happened? And so I prophesied as I was commanded. People of God, it's all about obedience. And look at this. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. Wow. This is a vision of what he's seeing. So meaning to say, when he began to speak, as the word told him, things began to happen. There was this rattling noise, and then the bones got attached. But then, look at this. It says, but there was no breath in them. So do you see the process? Do you see that it's a process? We obey, and once we obey, it might not come to the picture right away of what we were looking for. It takes faith for us to see what God is doing. It takes faith to really stick to the word of God. Because Lord, you said, when I come to you, God, in prayer, Lord, you hear me. Lord, I thank you for that confidence that I have from your word. That no matter what I see and hear in the natural, God, Lord, I'm praying for my son. Lord, he's getting worse, God. But Lord, I choose to believe that, Lord, the day is coming. The day is coming that what you promised, you're going to perform. People of God, we are called that the righteous shall live by faith. Not by what we feel, nor by what we hear around us, but choose to believe the word of God. And so, look at verse 9. So the bones came together, rattling sound. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. And, you know, it tells us. So there was a second instruction on what to say. This is God. Because it's a step-by-step thing with God. I would always say this. Our relationship with God is considered to be a walk. You know, if I ask you, how's your walk with God today? That's right, Brother Nelson. How do you walk? How do you and I walk? Step by step. When God tells you, anak, child, son, daughter, this is step one. Then we wait for the second instruction. Step two, anak, this is what you do. We wait on God. We wait on God. Because see, you know, the problem is we're a bunch of impatient people. I am. Kasama niyo ko doon sa census. How many are impatient here? Ako lang. We are all a bunch of impatient people. We live in a world we're in. Rapido, rapido, pronto, I want it now. I want it now. We want things done right away. And we apply that in our spiritual lives. You want God, Lord, na parang, you want like God to be in a parang genie bottle. Lord, now. No. We have to respect God. We have to respect His ways, His timing. And above all, give value to the Word of God. Give value to God's Word. And so the second step, well, son, eto na. You see, just the bones connecting here. This is the second step of what you are to say. And breathe. And so He commanded the four winds. And the Bible tells us, come, these are the words that he said, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live. Verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me. Did you see that? Very important. Kung ano yung sinabi ni Lord, yun ang gagawin. Even the words, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Who can do that? Only God. Only God. How many times do we feel this way when we're sharing God's word to a loved one? A friend? A schoolmate? A coworker? A neighbor? Or even at times the brethren in God's people? Because we all go through stages in our walk with God. We're in at times we slip and fall, we get discouraged, and we, you know, disappear. What do I mean by disappear? Oh, I'm not going to church now. I don't want to see someone. I don't want to talk to someone. We're so discouraged, and God and the enemy would bring us to that level wherein we would want to isolate ourselves. And that's the most dangerous place to be as a Christian, to isolate ourselves. Because God is about relationships, and the church is supposed to be a community wherein, you know how the Bible would always tell us, love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, or even rebuke one another and submit to one another. We love the, you know, pray for one another, encourage one another. But when the rebuke will come, it's like, eh? Poof, I'm gone. We all need our hearts to be developed in being teachable. I was not teachable before. I remember, I'm telling you these stories because I went through a process myself. You know, I was already a Christian, and we were having this youth night service, and I didn't like what the pastor said to me. And, you know, the church was, they had a stage, and I was assigned to do the, we didn't even have this computer. We all had the, transparency, thank you. So I was assigned to do that. But because I was hurt, I was offended with what the leader of the church said. Naku. Ganun ho. I was in front of everyone. Wow. Because we're all in the process of being changed. And when the Spirit of God is working in my life and yours, we all go through this process that we all have these rough edges. Meron pa tayong mga rough edge na, fill in the blanks, magaspang, matusok, fill in the blanks, di ba? At times, you would be surprised na you're now involved in the ministry, ang nakasama mo yung, ay nako, bakit siya nakapartner ko sa ministry? Pastor, ilipat mo na ako sa ibang department, just transfer me. He uses that to change us. We're all being, the Bible tells us that all of us are being change from glory to glory. Yung change the word, yung metamorphosis. From yung metamorphosis, remember? What is metamorphosis in biology? God of creation, you're teaching us. Okay. From a ugly looking caterpillar. Gusto nyo ba yung caterpillar? You don't like? Babalahibo. Hindi ba ganyan at times only? Ganyan tayo before Christ came. Lahat ng tao, di ba? Pero chine-change tayo by His Holy Spirit from a he-god, a caterpillar, into a? Wow! Do you see what kind of change? Huh? Thank you so much. It's a transformation. From something that hindi mo na ma-recognize, it's the before. The before and then the after, a butterfly. A butterfly has, wow, now it can fly. Beautiful. It's a beautiful creature. It can soar up its wings. Unlike yung higad na hindi mo alam kung makakarating dun sa dahon or not. At times, we see ourselves like that, or we see others like that. Now, we label them. But you know what? God is here. He's changing all of us. And wait. We wait till God makes something beautiful in your life and mine. And it's like, kaya you know when someone would say a testimony, you know, I always use this because si Brother Roel publicly shared yung kanyang testimony. Wow! Si Brother Roel Tomador, tama ba yun? He was into drugs? Oh, hey! Hindi nyo na makita yun, right? Because now he is a new creation in Christ. A change that God is doing in your life and mine. Sasabihin, ganun ka dati? Wow! Because only God can bring life to where there is deadness and barrenness. You know, as we end, there's so much to learn from the Word, because here's the thing. When Father God sent Jesus. Jesus was not, when he came here on earth, hey, people, okay, I'm establishing an organization. I'm asking you to fill up a form that you will be a member of this organization. Not that. He's looking for a relationship. A relationship. That when we have this kind of intimate and personal relationship with God, we value what he has done in saving us from our sins. See, can I tell you this? The person who values his or her sins being forgiven is that person that would really be on fire for God and committed for God. And we see that in the lives of Peter and Paul. How is it that these people, they stayed so, wow, committed to God? Can I use that word? In our meeting earlier with the group, one brother said, you know, commitment. Why did they stay committed to Christ in spite of persecutions, being all the difficulties, being almost stoned to death, being rejected, persecution, all that left and right? And yet, they didn't say, ay, ganito pala maging follower of Christ, ayoko na Lord. No. Why did they stay? And they were willing to die as a martyr for God. Peter even said, because he was about to be crucified like Jesus, not in that same posture, but ibaliktad niyo ako. Upside down. Why was he willing to do that for Christ? Because he experienced, number one, the love of God. He experienced the grace of Jesus. Lord, makasalanan ako, pero God, ito ginawa mo para sa akin. You saved me. Now, Lord, I was bound to go to hell, pero God, kinawaan mo ako. You gave me your mercy and grace. You saw my need. I was rebellious. I was mad at you. May needs ako. Hindi ko naiintindihan why these problems are in my life. Pero when you and I come to know the Lord, all of these things now would have meaning and purpose. Life now has meaning and purpose because of Christ. So we're saying that being a Christian is not a bed of roses. Some people think now, please, can I say this again? Don't be one of those that your ears would just itch for words that you would only want to hear. If the word of God would address certain issues in our lives that we need to repent of, let us be humble enough. God, remember, Lord, your word is a mirror to me. Because most of the time we'd say, when a message is sent, oh, sayang, wala dito si ano. We say that. Sana na, sayang narinig niya sana to. But no, it's for you and me. It's for you and me. And the hands of the Lord is not short to save. Yung pinagpa-pray natin, God knows where they are. And God has a way. Your ways and mine are limited, but God is not limited with his ways. Hallelujah. And so, he said, when the Spirit of God comes in us, the Spirit of God, he's a gift to you and me. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, as we close, when you and I receive Christ, I read this verse to you as to prepare for what I'm going to call a sister right now. He said in John chapter 6, look at this, John chapter 6. This is what the promise of the Lord is. John chapter 6, 63. Look at this. The Spirit gives life. And these are the words of our Lord Jesus. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. Now, there's another portion wherein I would want you to look at this. Now, John 7. Turn to the next pages. John 7. Let's look at verses 37 all the way up to verse 38, 39. On the last day and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let that person come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, Jesus said, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him or her. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit has not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So what is the promise of our Lord Jesus? That for those who believe in Christ, we're going to receive rivers of what kind of water? Life. Living water. Living water. So meaning to say, when you and I came to Christ, now we have received the life of God. That the Spirit of God now is in us. And He's going to use us to be vessels. Vessels wherein that kind of living waters would flow from within us. I've shared to you many testimonies, but there's a new, a recent testimony that has happened because last Sunday, there was an altar call and some people came in front. And one of the sisters came and then she asked that she be filled with the Spirit of God. And something happened. She heard a news and then she applied. She went and she allowed herself to be a vessel of living water. Where's Sister Flory? There she is. Come on, Sister Flory. For us Christians, there would always be opportunities wherein you and I would be that vessel of living water. Sister Flory, yes. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I just want to exalt the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on high.
Yes.
Last Tuesday, I had the chance to pray over for my sister-in-law, yeah, who will be undergoing a biopsy on her lungs. We got a great time praying. And I told him, her, that we will not believe on the report that comes from the Lord, but the report that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Thursday was her biopsy. And I was asking my husband, how soon will the result come out? Mm-hmm. After that conversation, I received a call from my brother that my sister-in-law is critical. She's not breathing for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the doctor advised him to call all the family members to be in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I felt devastated. And I heard some voice from the enemy. You see, your prayer did not work. But I chose to put my trust and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. While on my way to the hospital, I've been praying silently that the God of miracle will do it in behalf of my sister-in-law.
Yes, yes.
When we were there, everybody was there. We prayed as a group. We lift up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
No other name but the name of Jesus. Yes.
But still, my sister-in-law is not responsive. My brother, who is a doctor in Chicago, he told me that my sister-in-law is in coma, mm-hmm, knowing the situation. Mm-hmm. The next day, Friday, she's still unresponsive. Mm-hmm. I went to the hospital, and my desire is to pray over her and talk to her. Mm-hmm. But hindrances came, a lot of hindrances. There was a lot of Catholic members in the church, and the nurse told me not to talk to my sister-in-law because she will be agitated. But after the nurse left, I thank God for His boldness, for my obedience, because His power is really pushed me
present
to go and pray over my sister-in-law.
Lay hands on her. Yeah.
And lay hands on her.
And declare the
I whispered to her that Jesus is the only name who can do it.
Yes.
No other name. And then the choir members were listening. And I did not know that I was singing praises unto the Lord. No other name but the name of Jesus.
That's right. Yes.
I keep on singing that song.
Yes.
No other name. And then I prayed over my sister-in-law that nothing is too difficult
for God. That's right, yes.
That
yes.
He is in the hands of God. Yes. That He is a faithful God. She is a faithful God.
He is a faithful God.
He is a faithful God. And then the Lord said to me, you will arise and you will have victory.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
Before I went home that night, my brother asked my sister-in-law if she's feeling some pain. First time, she nodded her head. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The next day, my brother called me. My sister-in-law is responsive now. Hallelujah. He's even asking what happened to her.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
And then I told my brother-in-law, keep on praying because we have a God who is faithful.
That's right, yes.
And that machine, ventilator, will be out from her body today.
Jesus.
And in few hours, the ventilator was removed from my
sister-in-law. Hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord.
And truly, we have a victory through our Lord
That's
Jesus.
That's right, amen, amen. Praise God.
Then I went back yesterday with my family to pray over her, offering a thanksgiving. Her eyes were open. She is alert. She is responsive.
Hallelujah.
And she said yes to the Lord.
Jesus, amen.
And I praise and I give God all the glory.
And
the Lord said to me, fight the good fight of faith.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I give God all the glory.
Amen. Thank you so much. Let's thank God. You heard from her testimony what happened. Something in the natural happened. Even those involved in the medical field attending to her said, do not agitate her, because that's their natural thinking. But, you know, we choose to believe what the report of the Lord says, that there's power in His name. And when Sister Flory was one of those that came forward and to be filled with the Spirit of God, you know, that call is meant not just for just part of a ritual. When God is asking that question through the pastor, whoever is leading, who among you wants to be filled with the Spirit of God? He always asks a question, and it would always require a response from us. And so if you're that someone, Lord, you've done so much, and I would want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, that God, when I pray for someone, when I share things to some people, God, it is the life of your Spirit that would flow through me. She listened for God's instructions, and the Lord told her to do this and say this. And she obeyed like Ezekiel. And from that story that we saw in Ezekiel, life came in that body where there was like seemingly lifeless. A monitor, a ventilator was attached to the body to bring it life. That's the natural way. But when the words of God were spoken over her, that Sister Lynn, life came. Because who's the source of life? God is. God is. I'm not saying that we don't believe in God can also use medical science. He would use any means. Can I say this? He can also use doctors. But when there will be moments wherein we are listening to what God is saying for that particular situation, and when God says, okay, you go, pray for her, share the word of God to her, and she obeyed, and there was a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So how many of us needs the power of God in our lives? That might be a question for those already followers of Christ. But how many, it's a question, how many needs the life of Jesus in our lives that you and I may know that we have the gift of eternal life? That question was raised to me and my mom when that spirit-filled brother Christian went in our apartment in Azusa way back in the 80s. He asked a simple question. Have you committed your life to Christ? I believed in Christ, but I've never received Him as my personal Savior and Lord. And when he asked that question, my mom and I said yes, and our lives were never the same. People can come to church in and out. But if that person has never yet made that decision to commit their lives to Jesus, it takes that person making that decision for himself or herself. You might come from a family who are religious. That doesn't guarantee you that you're going to heaven. Your mom or dad might be Christians, but if you have not yet made that decision for yourself, wala pong grandchildren in the eyes of God, only children, meaning to say you need to make that decision for yourself. So there will be an opportunity given to anyone here gathered this afternoon, because God loves you so much. He knows where you're at. He knows your condition. He knows, like what he saw in me, I was mad at him. I was lost. I was a lost soul. I was in darkness. I was depressed. I believe in God, but, you know, coming from a religious background, and yet I didn't have that connection. I didn't have that personal relationship with Christ. And Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You're all going to be given an opportunity to do that, and you have to make that conscious decision. I may ask you if you would want to stand up or raise up your hand. It's just a simple gesture that you're saying to the Lord, "Lord, I heard your word today. Lord, I realize that your word tells me that without Christ, that I'm a sinner, Lord. I have sinned against you, God, and I need to come to you and make things. I want my relationship right with you, God, because, Lord, even my relationship with others, I need help, God, with loved ones, with my friends, God. It's like I am lost, and yet, Lord, today I heard the message of the good news that Jesus, you died for my sins, that you are the way to the Father, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And this afternoon, I would like to make that decision." And if you're that person, and you feel that nudge or tug in your heart because God is speaking to you through his Holy Spirit, I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. In fact, that's what the Bible says. We need to make that confession with our lips. What we believe in our hearts, we say it with our lips, because that would seal your salvation. So if you're that person, just lift up your hands to God. If you don't want to rise up or stand up, you know, this is a moment. You need to be sure. You need to be sure that you're going to heaven, and the only way is to the Father is through Christ alone. So, and if you're that person, and if you would want to say this prayer and mean it from your heart, with your heart lifted up to God, and if you would want to lift up that hand, don't be embarrassed. You know, that can be a hindrance. If you are given that opportunity now, seize it. I compel you, seize this opportunity. And say to him, say to our Lord Jesus, "Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am, a sinner. Thank you for allowing me to hear your word, to know that salvation comes from you alone, Lord Jesus. And thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, that I have the forgiveness of all my sins through your most precious blood. Now I believe that I am born again as I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior, and be the Lord of my life. Help me to obey you from this day on, not what I will or want in my life, but your will. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with the love of God and the power of God, and help me to be a better person through the help of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." Praise God. And if you're that someone, and you have known the Lord for quite a while, and your life as a Christian is like dull and lifeless, the Spirit of God is here for you and me. At times, you know, when God would ask us to do something, and we are just thinking that, "God, I can't do it. I can't do it." But you know what? The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Lord is just looking for willing vessels. And there's so many who need Jesus. Can I say this? There are so many who need Jesus. And we cannot be just self-centered and be content, and others are perishing. When you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, God would cause us to see their situation. And it's the love of God that would move us to pray for people, like that brother who prayed for me. It would move us to be persistent in our sharing them. At times, like, my reaction was like, you know, "Get out of my life. I don't need you." But he persisted. He persisted. And I thank God for that, because it's the Spirit of God working in him. Let the Spirit of God work in your life and mine as we are continually being asked by God to be his vessels. Let's pray right now. Hallelujah. And if you're that someone and you recognize your condition as a Christian, you've known the Lord for quite a while, I'm not going to... ask for an altar call, but if you want to just lift up your hand or just stand up and say, God, thank you for showing me that I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Do that right now. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray because there's this urgency that God is showing us because people need the Lord. Hallelujah. So, and if you're that person, just lift up. If you're that Christian, and if also if you want to serve God, we cannot serve God on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we come to you, Lord, just as we are, even for some of us who've made that decision. Lord, oh God, we've been Christians, born-again Christians for a long time. And Lord, at times we see ourselves that there's barrenness in our Christian life, God. No fruit at all. But today we thank you that you've reminded us that, Lord, it takes the work of your Holy Spirit in all of us. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, fill us with your Spirit. Ask that from God. Most of us are matured enough to talk to God. We're being led most of the times. Just from where you're seated right now, tell the Lord, Lord, I need, fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with the love of God. Anoint me, Lord God, that I may be your vessel of power and love. And so, Lord, this day is coming, God. By faith, we receive your Holy Spirit. You said in your word that for those of us who believe in the scriptures, Lord God, believe in you, Lord Jesus, from within us, rivers of living water would flow from within us. That through the work of your Spirit, our prayer life would change. There will be boldness, O God. When there's someone who's sick, we will go and visit and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, as your word says. That, Lord, as you called us, O God, to share the gospel, Lord, to our loved ones, to our friends, people at the workplace, for our young people, O God, anoint our young people because so many young people need Jesus in their lives, God. Anoint us, we pray, Lord God. Hallelujah. And even in our serving you, God, may we never serve you on our own strength and our own flesh, God, because it will never bear fruit, God. But, Lord, we thank you for causing us to see that, Lord, through the work of your Spirit, Lord, life would flow through us. For us who believe, oh God, and you're going to give us specific instructions. We're going to listen to you. We're going to obey what your word says. What you say, we will do, God. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, your promise is that, Lord, we are led and guided by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for touching everyone gathered today, Lord God. And we honor you, Lord Jesus, for you are the one through your Holy Spirit that gives life to where there is deadness and barrenness. And, Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your word says that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Change us, Lord God, with most of the times, God, we speak negative words over our lives and over our loved ones, our condition, God. But Lord, today, through the work of your Spirit, you're changing that, God. Instead of being negative about things, we choose to believe and declare your words, which are words of life. The words of life will be spoken over marriages that are dead, Lord God. We speak life to these dead marriages. We speak life, Lord God, to those who are spiritually dead, Lord God, to those who are, Lord, who have backslidden and are running away from you. We speak life over them, O God, that through the work of your Spirit, O God, you're going to restore them back to your fold, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And so, Heavenly Father, we honor you, Lord God, because in Christ, who is the baptizer of the Spirit, we know, Lord God, that you're going to use us in the days ahead, Lord God. You're raising up a vast army like what happened in the book of Ezekiel, oh God. As you lead us in a place filled with dry bones, God, you're going to give us words that we're going to speak over their lives, oh God. And we're going to see the power of your Spirit, Lord God, flowing through us, God. Thank you for building up our faith, God. Jesus, we honor you because you are the one who does this all in our lives, oh God, through your wonderful Holy Spirit, oh God. And we honor you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise in Jesus' name as we call on the ushers because we're going to partake communion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Hector. Praise God. You know, the Word of God gives us instructions on how to partake communion. Never to take it lightly. In fact, if there is, when something was reminded of us from a principle, a very important principle from God's Word, when the Lord says never to take this lightly, because we need to examine ourselves before we partake of the bread and drink of the cup. A self-examination, and that was given to us when there was a call for us to make that confession of what we are conditionally, spiritually. If someone who's not yet born again, you were given that opportunity, because if you're not yet born again, then it tells us that there is such importance in remembering the sacrifice that Jesus did for us on the cross. Never, never to be taken lightly. And so when we partake this bread and drink this cup, because Jesus suffered and died for us. And that salvation, He wants us to go further in our walk with Him. That He would want us to be His instruments and vessels. Can I just say this first? We have some young parents here. Do you know that when you're born again now and you're filled with the Spirit of God, that you have the life of God flowing through you, that when you are called, when God gives you specific instructions, lay hands on your children. Some of you are grandmothers and grandfathers. Lay hands on your grandchildren and let the life of God through His Holy Spirit flow through these young, tender lives, and ask for God's anointing to be upon them. This is what you and I have been called, that you and I would be His vessels. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus is alive forevermore, and it is the power of God through His Holy Spirit now living in you and me. We are to partake this, and as I read the scriptures, let the words of God bring life to you. And even as we remember what Jesus has done at the cross, let's come to Him with grateful hearts, humbled that He has given us His mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Let's do a self-examination once more. And if it did not happen a few minutes ago when we were called to do a confession or declaration of what we are and who we are, let's just do that right now before we partake the bread and drink the cup. Thank you, Lord. Let's do a self-examination. Thank you, God. Or even just thank God. Just thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life, the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Let me read the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The night the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We need to remember the Lord. We need to remember what He did for us. And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you and I eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord and eats and drinks judgment on himself." We don't want that to happen. That's why you are called and reminded from the Word of God how to take communion. So let's come to the Lord with grateful hearts today. Let's just thank Him for His mercy and grace. Let's just thank Him for that sacrifice at the cross. Let's thank Him for the body that was pierced with nails, crown of thorns were placed upon His head, a sword was pierced through His side, and that through the blood that He shed, you and I have the forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Hallelujah. And a powerful reminder that you and I, as we partake communion, we are proclaiming something. We are declaring something. The Lord's death until He comes. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful of your mercy and grace that you shower upon our lives. To be reminded, Lord God, of what we are, who we are before Christ, all sinners, but saved by your grace, God. We're so thankful na, Lord, binigay mo sa amin ang awa mo, Lord, ang grace mo, God. We do not deserve it, and yet you gave it to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying on that cross on our behalf. Tell the Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Make it personal. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me, Lord, at that cross. And today, I remember you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me, that you were so willing to die on that cross for me. And that now I have hope in you. And now that I have your Holy Spirit to guide me and to empower me to seek your righteousness all the days of our lives, God. And so, Lord, as we before we partake this bread, we remember you, Lord Jesus, and your broken body. Thank you for your sacrifice at that cross as we partake the bread. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. Lord, this cup reminds us of your most precious blood that you shed on that cross on our behalf. We thank you that there's power in the blood of Jesus, the power to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness and sins. And also, as your word says in Revelation, that through your blood we have overcome Satan. We are overcomers because of the blood of Jesus, and we are protected by the blood of Jesus. That everyone right here in this place, and even our family, Lord God, covered by the blood of Jesus. And that we are made perfect. We are made whole to do your will in our lives, God. And may our lives be lived for you all the days, Lord God. All the days of our lives, living for you and serving you. And we thank you for your most precious blood that enables us to do it, God. In Jesus' name we pray and we receive our forgiveness, the cleansing, and our healing, God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Let's all rise up. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. Okay. Thank you, Lord. We're all going to pray together. Amen. Let be the words that will come out from our lips be thanksgiving. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you. We honor you, Lord, today. Thank you that, Lord, you filled our hearts with hope in you, God. That you are the God that calls things that are dead and you bring them to life, Lord God. That through the work of your Spirit, the same power, the resurrection power that made Jesus rise from the dead is the same power at work in all of us. We thank you for that testimony shared earlier by Sister Flory. We thank you, God, that, Lord, you're going to give us all open doors of opportunity, God, that the life-giving power of Christ through your Holy Spirit flow through our lives, God. When we go home, our respective places, God, we're going to speak words of life over our loved ones, our families, God. In our workplace, God, where there's so much negativity, oh God, and so many people burdened, Lord God, there's this heaviness. We were once there, God. I was once there. But in my workplace, you sent that Spirit-filled brother, Lord. You anointed him. So, Lord, the way you used Brother Alex in my life, Lord, use all of us. For those who are working, God, we are there because for a reason. For our young people, oh God, who are still in schools, God, there's so many young people who need Christ in their lives, Lord. Fill them with your Spirit, oh God, and encourage them and motivate them, inspire them, oh God, to win their friends for Jesus. Even for our seniors, God, what's amazing about you, Lord God, is there's no age factor in serving you, God. Even in our old age, your promise is that we will be fruitful. That the power of God would flow even through these physical bodies of ours to know that, Lord, it is you who gives life and that you're going to use us to bring life to others, even in our praying, God. So Father God, this afternoon we are so thankful, God, for what you have done in Jesus' name and through the work of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching us words to say, words that would bring life, not death, but words of life. In Jesus' name. And bless everyone gathered today, Lord God, in this place. And as we commit to you the remainder of this day and the days ahead, Lord God, we thank you for the guidance of your Spirit, the wisdom and the strength that we need, Lord God, in our lives. And we honor you, Lord God, because you are the God who is with us always. Bless everyone today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord together. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's worship him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.